that's what we are.
I don't know.
Unforgettable.
That's how we're starting Pilgrim Talk Podcast, because it contradicts everything we said in the last podcast. Way to go, gang. Welcome to the podcast. With me is the rest of the Rat Pack here.
But you just demonstrated a federal headship there, because I didn't pick the song, but I'm accused of gang. You said gang. So I'm guilty by association.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
And that's why in the Rat Pack you're Sammy Davis Jr. Yeah.
That's basically when you look up the RCUS on the anywhere internet, any place, and yeah. It's you know, the byline is always, if all else fails, blame Scott Henry.
And that was Reverend Darryl Kingswood. He is the Frank Sinatra of
Not. That was Nat King Cole singing there.
Of the Rat Pack.
I'm not the chairman of the board.
You're the chairman of the board.
No, I'm Sammy Davis Jr.
No, he's Sammy
Davis Jr. I dance and sing and smile.
No. That's Scott.
He can't dance. He's white.
Yeah. So are you.
I'm white on the outside, but I am a brother on the inside.
And now we've gotten uncomfortable.
Come on, anyway, Willis.
We're...
you are a rambunctious individual, aren't you?
A little bit. From that canned possum we had last night.
I didn't have any canned possum.
All right, get on subject. What are we talking
about? We are talking about Article 5 of the Third and Fourth Headed Doctrine of the Canons of Dort. If you don't have a copy and you're in front of your computer, you can find it at rcus.org under Creeds and Confessions.
All right.
There you go.
Or if anybody... can identify, I've already quoted a movie.
Yes.
In this episode. Uh-huh. If they can identify that quote, find my email address, send me an email address, tell me what movie that's from, I will send them a copy of the three forms.
You can find his email address on rcus.org under ministers.
Uh-huh.
So it shouldn't be that hard.
There it is, the cryptic little quotes in
and
there.
All of a sudden, we have like a reward game.
Right.
Now we are the most
here's
exciting.
Here's a clue.
Theology
and,
reward.
And now here's a clue.
Yeah.
The D is silent.
Ooh.
That's okay. The mystery. I told you I was bringing my A game.
It is. It's on.
Right. I thought this was Wheel of Fortune. I'll spin you. I'm going to solve.
Oh, what is it?
I don't know.
Do you want to buy a vowel?
I want to go on a vacation.
No.
But I just found something that was ironic in what he said. The D is silent. D is never silent. I mean, that's why I call him Big D, Brother D, Daryl. D is never silent.
He's always silent. What are you talking about?
The D is never silent.
Yeah, the D is never silent.
All right, that's fair enough.
So it's obviously not the movie named after me.
No. Getting back to the subject at hand.
Get on point. You're
the
point,
man. I'm trying.
Exactly.
Boy. This one, I'm going to make you start talking about. Article 5. Neither can the Decalogue delivered by God to his peculiar people, the Jews, by the hands of Moses, save men. Should we just stop there? You want me to read the rest of it? For though it reveals the greatness of sin and more convinces man thereof, yet... as it neither points out a remedy nor imparts strength to extricate him from this misery, but being weak through the flesh leaves the transgressor under the curse. Man cannot by this law obtain saving grace.
Mm-hmm.
The law. I don't think we're going to pass Article 5 today, so... The law doesn't save. I have read a Reformed writer not too long ago who said,
name
the
names.
Law is the gospel. It was Steve Shishel.
I don't know if he...
he was considered reformed at that point when he was writing things like the law is the gospel.
He was a theonomist at that point, though.
So the law is the gospel is the law.
Yeah.
So he's conflated them.
He's conflated them.
All right. So the law can say.
That's what he would say.
And that's just outright heresy.
It seems to be outright against this article here, does it not?
Clearly against the whole of God's word.
Indeed.
What the law could not do. The law can prescribe, but the law accuses and condemns. By the law is the knowledge of sin. That law is perfect and holy and good and beautiful. It's the revelation of you know, God's will and what it means to live to the glory of God. But it has no power in and of itself.
It doesn't have the ability because in the law, where do you find Christ here in the law? Where does the law demonstrate Christ? Where does it, as it says here, where does it point out to us a remedy?
What if it's a do this and live? Well, I mean, I'll just be the devil's advocate.
Yeah, do here. This and live.
Do this and live.
But, right. but there's a difference here in it's spoken at that point to the covenant people of God.
His peculiar.
Who had not only the moral law, but they had the ceremonial law.
Sure.
And it's the ceremonial law through the aspect of the atonement of taking the rams right. and the goat. That sacrificial the burning, the blood, all of that is what displayed the remedy.
Yeah, their transgression.
Not necessarily the moral law. That left me, you know, without, I mean, I'm without hope. I have
just showed
no,
you your
so you think that do this and live is saying do the ceremonial law.
No, I think that what I'm saying is that when it says that, you know, Peter quotes that, but when it is written in the Old Covenant people had both the moral law and the ceremonial aspect of the law. So they
which
understood
made atonement for their violation,
they
their
understood
transgression they, of the law, the moral code.
And that didn't make
well, what I'm going to ask you is this.
The ceratone for sin.
Right.
But it spoke to them spoke of
but let me,
the sacrifice.
But I'm going
to
ask you this. Because in the moral law.
For atoning sacrifice.
In the moral law, where do you find Christ in that? Where is Christ represented to you in that? Where would you see the Ten Commandments and see Christ in that? Where would that drive you to Christ? Where?
At where would point? That drive me to Christ?
It would simply drive you to a despair that you have not right. fulfilled any of those. Your conscience convicting you of that. But the ceremonial aspect of the law, which we have in the panoply of Scripture, because we have the completed revelation, we understand God speaking to His covenant people. It starts in the garden, that God made atonement for Adam, and they knew at that point that there must be a shedding of blood. That was right from the beginning. And Adam had the moral law. He had the ceremonial aspect. It wasn't declared as the ceremonial aspect, but that's clearly what it was. God demonstrate that by killing animals and clothing them, and they understood, and you find it with Abraham, you find it just continually, you find it with Moses, you find it with Noah, you find it all the way down the line, that they understood that there had to be an aspect of substitution. So I think it's the ceremonial aspect of the law that points to our remedy, that there is the Savior, the substitutionary atonement, the only one that can redeem us isn't a substitute.
You've got something obviously looked up.
Well, no, just Paul addresses this matter of the purpose of the law in Galatians, right? Add it because of our transgressions, because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. It was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator, being Moses. Well, so why does it come? Because of transgression. To reveal the transgression, that sin might become
schoolmaster
sinful, right? And Paul uses that in Galatians as well. Mm-hmm. So that's tutor. The function of the law. The function of the law, it convicts of sin. The function of the law shows you you're without hope. You need somebody to deliver you. You need somebody to live the law perfectly and also perfectly satisfy the penalty of the law. So to live the life that we're to live and die the death that we deserve, and that's Christ. So there has to be a sacrifice for the sin. There needs to be a sacrifice for our sins to atone, right? For the sin committed under the law, under the condemnation of the law. That's why there's no condemnation
for those in Christ Jesus.
Because he delivers us from the condemnation of the law. He is our righteousness. He fulfills the law. You know, and his righteousness is imputed to me, and the Catechism talks about that, as if I'd done those very things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's our rest. That's where it comes back to, our hope, our comfort, our assurance, always coming back to Christ. And so that's the... This is a good thing to point out. This shows you reform. That's why you mentioned somebody who says the law is the gospel. No, yeah. It's not. There's no good news in the law in and of itself. Read the catechism's explanation of God's will as it's revealed in his law. Right? There's no hope in that. Mm-hmm. You read that. Guilty.
Yeah.
Guilty.
It's in the misery section.
Guilty. Guilty.
And you know what's amazing? Is that
guilty.
And everybody knows, and it's demonstrated guilty. By this action. What do we do?
Guilty.
We make up our own laws. We lower the bar.
Doable.
Yeah.
They're doable.
You can get under the La Bamba bar. I can do it.
The La Bamba.
Just, you know, what was really disturbing is that he just did a La Bamba shake.
It
was,
yeah. And I mean, again, we come back to...
It wasn't too disturbing because you smiled when I did it.
I was trying to choke back.
So then when you get to... Then the catechism wants to know then. So, you know, can you keep this perfectly? No.
No.
In the holy summons have the smallest beginnings. You begin to live in conformity with all of them, but not exhaustively. You're not perfect. So why the law then? Why is the law given? Why is the law enjoined?
To keep them under sin,
right? And to keep us, and as a Christian, we look at it and we go, "I need a Savior. I need Christ. I need His righteousness. I need the forgiveness of sins. I need the grace of the Holy Spirit to apply to my life what Christ has done, to be conformed more and more to the likeness, and the image of God, to Christ." Until we reach the goal after this life,
yep.
Perfection.
I think if you're really understanding the law, and when you're reading those first 10, 11, 12 questions of the Heidelberg Catechism, you ought to be able to read it in feeling the increasing desperation.
Absolutely.
Can I keep this perfectly? No. Well, did God create man like this? Nope, but you willfully gave it up. Where does it come from? Am I so depraved that I'm completely incapable of doing anything?
Have to get there. You just have to get to the question.
Is God also merciful?
Deals with
please?
The summary of the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yeah. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I have to love God perfectly, and I have to love my neighbor perfectly.
Yeah, there's no hope of that.
Yeah.
Man, this one. I am sunk.
There you go.
The Titanic just hit the iceberg. It's down. Nobody got off the Titanic.
Hear that Canadian horn, man?
No, there's no lifeboats floating around.
It's like a sick cow.
There's no lifeboats floating around in the ICC for the Carpathia to come and pick some survivors up. There's no survivors.
You see how he dropped the name of the boat that saved people? Man, he just dropped name.
I tell you, I'll bring up my A game for at least 3 weeks.
That's why
Leonardo DiCaprio, he does capture the essence. The Titanic is the law. You're sunk. You're going down, buddy. And he's at the front of that thing saying, "I'm the king of the world." Idiot. I'm the king of the world.
Next thing you know, they show this like, he's floating in their dream, you know.
Frozen, and now he's going to be in Davy Jones' locker in the depths of the sea. I'm the king of the world. That's man in the law. I'm the king of the world.
That was great.
Man. I may actually rewatch that movie once. That's fantastic. What a great illustration. There's my camp lecture. I'm done.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just going to, you know what, I'm just going to email Daryl from now on and tell him I'm thinking about watching this movie. Please fill me in before I go see it. It enlivens everything. Now I'm no longer looking in black and white, man. Yeah. Everything's in color now.
And I'm bringing Technicolor. They used to color it by Panavision. It's Daryl Vision.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. And now anybody knows, if you hear a good sermon that Lee preached, he stole it from me.
I stole it.
But that's all right. I like to help out the needy.
All right.
All right. So where are we, Lee?
Last I remember, we were at the bottom of Davy Jones's locker. I'm not sure we
that's
climb
where
back
we
out.
Were. That's the law, right? As it says,
but notice
it reveals
how it says,
the greatness of sin.
Yeah,
convinces man of the greatness of sin.
Uh-huh.
Right, but it doesn't point out a remedy. It doesn't impart strength to extricate him.
See, this
from
is
his misery.
This is what I say about a ceremonial aspect. The moral law does not point out a remedy.
Right.
Or impart strength to
it just diagnoses the problem.
Exactly. Being weak through the flesh, it leaves the transgressor under the curse. And it says, man cannot by this law obtain saving grace. In other words, you cannot be obedient to the law to such a great degree that God then grants grace to you.
Right.
Because
it wouldn't be grace.
It wouldn't be grace. It would be works. And that's what Paul picks up in Romans 11,
that's
doesn't
right.
he?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you realize that I like to use the things that people think are not a big deal because we have a phrase in our culture that, you know, everybody does it.
We excuse it.
What is everybody doing?
By saying everybody does it. Everybody gossips. Everybody murmurs. Everybody backbites. Everybody does that. So it's excusable.
Yeah, but I'm going to drive home. I thought I'm driving home for an hour. I thought you're going to get some things I could do on the way home. I can't do that in the car by myself.
Oh yeah,
well, I can murmur. Yeah,
yeah.
But gossip, that's pretty tough with yourself. Unless I switch seats.
Well, how about but everybody screams and yells at the people driving around them.
Do they?
Yeah, flips and birds, stuff like that. Everybody does it.
Oh, and I thought I was being one of a kind.
No, you're not a groundbreaker.
So you take this one there, and as Jesus, as he deals with this on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, if you've lusted after a woman, you've committed adultery already in your heart.
Yeah.
And James picks it up in James 2, says if you break one commandment, you broke them all.
Right.
So the domino effect. And I already come in. We have in our society the three-strike law. We already come into this world with three strikes.
Right.
We're already on death row. We don't understand the law of God. We
not just three strikes, three down, nine innings, game's over.
Well,
we're going to keep using law references. God has a zero tolerance policy for sin.
Perfection.
Boom.
Yeah,
perfection. Absolute perfection.
Even as a believer. Root and fruit.
Outward,
as a believer, inward. None of us.
Cause and effect.
None of us have kept.
Write that down, Lee.
I can't. I don't know how to spell.
You know, we read the Ten Commandments, and which we ought to do, because now as a believer, they come alive in the heart, and it's something that we delight in. It's something we desire.
Oh, yeah.
And when people say, that's law, brother. No. It's law when I say that this is the way that you save yourself. When you become a Pharisee, that's law. It's no longer grace. No, it's law when I put the demand on you that this is the way that you are saved by your obedience.
Right.
This law is never designed to do that. Man was never, it was never given as a way of salvation. It was always given to drive men to disparity. The ceremonial aspect said, here's your remedy. It's to look to the atonement, it's to look to the substitution.
For the sins committed under that law.
David in Psalm 119...
Just ruined everything.
176 verses, he praises God for his word, his law, his testimony, his statutes, constantly saying, these are wonderful.
Yeah. Teach me.
It's the way that I understand God's holiness.
Make me to walk. Incline my heart.
Exactly.
To your statutes, your judgments.
Paul, he loved the law of God.
Mm-hmm.
He loved it in his inward being. You don't love the law of God until you are regenerated. When you are regenerated, you know your hope is not in keeping the law. Your hope is in Christ who kept the law in perfection for you. Because even the least inclination against this, the Tenth Commandment teaches,
right.
is we're history. And we know as believers, none of us have kept the law of God.
Right.
You haven't loved the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength for one moment of one day.
Mm-hmm.
You're demonstrating that when you sin, you love yourself more than you love God.
Right.
That's why you
but
say...
But Jesus did, right?
But Jesus did.
And that's he died on the cross.
To cover that. That's why I'm not condemned.
Right.
So, you know, the scriptures reveal to us that as the people of God, we are not called sinners. We are called saints in Christ Jesus. And every saint knows that he's still sinful, and that his only hope is in Jesus.
But Daryl likes to say we're both simultaneously saints and sinners.
Oh,
we are saints and sinful. No, that's what Luther said.
Yeah, Daryl doesn't like to say.
Daryl loves it.
No, Daryl does not like.
We are saints, and we're still sinful. But you see, that's our identity: is that in Christ saints. We are saints in Christ Jesus. If you call me a sinner, now I'm outside. Have I sinned? Am I sinful? Yes. But God has declared me a saint in Christ Jesus through faith in his word.
Right.
So let me ask you this.
In fact, not only does that sin, I was thinking about what Paul says in Romans 7. He talks about that not only does the law make it kind of possible or slightly possible, but that law actually arouses sin and sinful passions. I mean, that's human nature, isn't it?
Yeah, don't tell me what to do.
You tell me don't touch that.
I mean,
and I'm saying what? Touch the thing I'm touching right now?
Yeah.
Right? You don't tell me to cross that line. Just, I say what? The line I just crossed
think
over?
Think about how simple that can be. You walk by a door and it says, do not open. You push it.
Man, you got to open that door.
What are you talking? You know, you pour new cement. What do you find over there? You put a little barrier around it and then 2 days later you come back. You find handprints all over. The guy scribes his name in there.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Joey.
And that's the reality. I mean, Paul in Romans 7 is discussing this and he talks about how, you know, how the law, we're in the flesh. The sinful passions are aroused by the law, that are working our members to bear fruit to death. And he says, but now I've been delivered from the law. And then he asks, because what should we say then? Is the law sin? No, certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. But what he knows through the law is sin. And what he knows throughout this passage is that law is not going to deliver him. Right?
Yeah, Paul
so what a wretched man that I am. Oh, yeah, he says in verse 12 of Romans 7, the law is holy, and the commandment. So the law in its entirety, any specific commandment here, the commandment is thou shalt not covet, which you referenced to in the catechism with the least inclination, that the law is holy, the commandment holy and just and good.
Yeah, Paul said...
problem isn't the law. The problem me. Points out us.
Yeah, in Galatians he said, I through the law died to the law that I might... In other words... The law slayed me, so I no longer try to obey to then be right with God.
Right.
It slayed me that I, by faith, through the gospel, might then live unto Christ.
Right, unto Christ. And Paul talks about living through Christ.
And in Christ.
And, you know,
his favorite in Ephesians is in Christo.
Right. Well, Paul never refers to believers as Christians. His favorite reference is... In Christ,
the Bible.
Believing in Christ, believing into Christ. John talks about living through Christ. And so we come back always to, in all of these pilgrim talk, is to Christ.
Christ.
Right? And this idea where you mention a person who says the gospel is a law, that's just outright confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But yet, it's everywhere.
No one understands.
Even the Reformed churches did it.
Right? Well that's because you're trying to understand Scripture with an unregenerate mind.
There you go.
Right? It's a hermeneutic of the flesh of unbelief is what it is. And so what are you going to do? I'm going to come here and it's going to do more, try harder. You guys remember Roger Miller, King of the Road? He used to sing that song where, you know, you can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. Can't roller skate in a buffalo herd. But you can be happy if you have a mind too. All you got to do is knuckle down, buckle down, do it, do it, do it. I think that's a lot of people's understanding of Christianity. And that's what they're doing when they say the law is the gospel. That's what Christianity is. We'll just put another brick in the backpack. You know, you got five of them, and next Sunday we'll five more, and we'll just weigh you down with, you know, put the bricks in, carry this around.
Yeah.
Hey, preacher, leave those bricks alone.
We don't need no education.
Yeah.
isn't that exactly the teaching of Pilgrim Progress?
I was about to say the same thing. That's the entire first point. He's got the burden going around until he gets to the cross.
Exactly. And he is weighed way down, and then it falls off and rolls down into that open tomb.
Yeah.
And he's afraid of that burden.
And so what do you see? You see even as Luther, when he understood the gospel, it was the doors of paradise swung open. Paul, he was blinded by Christ. And when
anybody had reason to boast in the flesh, Paul had more than
he was a Pharisee of Pharisees.
Anyone. But he counts it all as dog.
And it's like you said, it's the hermeneutic of the flesh.
Uh-huh.
Because he thought that he was keeping the law.
Right.
So anyway, you had a... Question?
Oh, we'll have to say that for next time.
Oh,
that's another program.
We are
Our time way sure out. Flies.
Flip. That is the music that says it's time to go.
Mr. Bojangles,
gotta go. He's gotta leave.
I didn't even know that I was on YouTube.
You were mad.
I look a lot different when I'm
Bojangles, any dance?
Indeed. It's that time.
In worn out shoes.
You gotta go.
Silver hair. Ragged shirt.
And we got a quiz. What
he would do the old.
What kind of dancer was
soft shoe.
He just told you right there.
Soft shoe.
Soft
he
shoe.
Could jump so high.
He's
jump so high.
He could jump high.
So, we do hope you'll come back and join us next time. Hopefully,
Mr.
we'll have some.
Jangles.
Turn it down to
and we'll promise Scott will not sing.
We can't promise.
That's a promise you cannot keep.
Scott is the human duke box.
He really is. Well, we are hoping to have some other guests with us
next time. All right,
it should be some next time. So we'll see that. So make sure you subscribe, Find us on iTunes.
Yeah.
Find us on Facebook. Right. You can find us on woodenpulpitmedia.wordpress.com.
And Lee is going to be...
You can find us on some sermon audio.
Lee is going to be sending out autographed copies, a picture of himself.
I will not, no. But...
he is one pretty man, for people who are wondering.
That's disturbing.
Yeah, disturbingly beautiful.
And I'm leaving now. We hope that you won't go too far and you'll join us next time. Pilgrim Talk Podcast.